Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, there wasn't anything else I could do but just tell Sheriff Vail the whole cock and bull story just the way Art had given it to me. I felt like crawling in a prairie dog hole. Oh, not just because Art had made a fool of me. It's more than that. We'd been pretty good friends once, all three of us. Art, Clyde, and me. Now Clyde was dead, and sooner or later Art would be brought in for killing him. If I wasn't so doggone gullible, it might have been a lot sooner.
Well, Rocky, it's only 3 or 4 miles. You must come by it.
Yeah, that's where he said he'd give himself up.
Oh, is that so?
Well, if he told you to wait for him there, you can be darn sure it's the last place he'll be. He's probably still up at the end of the canyon, trying to find the pass you come through.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, sure.
Well, we better ride on ahead. You want to come with us, Ponsett?
No, I think I'll head back for town.
Well, suit yourself. I left a couple of the boys along the way in case Hemper gives us a slip and starts backtracking. You might tell him to keep the eyes open, that we haven't caught him yet.
Yeah. All right, Sheriff.
Okay, George. Sam, come on, let's go.
Come on, boy.
Well, that's what I intended to do. Just head straight for Smoke Falls, but somehow I found myself turning around. I took it real easy, and then when I came to Squirrel Rock, I couldn't help pulling up. Whoa. It was just about noon. The sun was square in the middle of the sky. There sure wasn't any sign of Art Hemper either. Not that I really thought he'd be there, not after what I'd found out from the sheriff. I'd never looked at that rock real close before. It was a lot bigger than most of the other boulders along the way, but that was about the only difference. I couldn't figure why folks got the name. It sure didn't look much like a squirrel to me. It's big, though. Wasn't any doubt about that. If it had been a couple of feet wider, it had blocked the whole canyon. I remember thinking to myself, a man could hide almost anywhere around there real easy. The only trouble was I didn't think of it soon enough.
Right on time, Britt.
Yeah, so are you, Art.
You don't mind getting off your horse, do you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'd just as soon not.
Well, you better do it anyway. Keep those arms stretched way up high.
Uh-huh. All right.
Now, you can unbuckle your gun belt, but use only one hand, your left one.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
I guess you know I ran into Sheriff Vail.
Sure. I told you you would. Him and his boys come riding through here just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm.
Didn't even stop, huh?
I must have figured I was up at the end of the canyon hunting the pass you come through.
Yeah. Art, George Crump says he saw you shoot Clyde.
Did, huh? Well, I didn't pick a very good time for it, did I?
You're not going to deny it again, huh?
You wouldn't believe me if I did. I already pressed my luck with you once today, Britt. I won't try it twice.
Why'd you kill him, Art? It wasn't Clyde's fault your father left him the property.
The ranch wasn't the real reason. I guess folks never will believe me, but that wasn't the cause.
Well, what was the cause, then?
I can't even put it in words. I reckon I hated Clyde. I reckon I always hated him, but I didn't know how much until they read the will, until I found out how Pa really felt towards me. You see, I never had no mother. She died when I was born.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't very long after that Pa married again and I had me a ready-made family. Oh, she wasn't like one of them stepmothers you read about in stories. She always tried to be fair and honest. Maybe that was it. Maybe she tried to be too fair.
Yeah, too fair?
Well, whenever I did something bad, never said a word to me. She waited till Pa come home and told him about it. I was his son, she said, and she didn't have no right to punish me. It was up to Pa to take down the razor strop and give me a whaling. Not that she was easy on Clyde. She wasn't. She saw to it that he towed the line, but he belonged to her. He was her responsibility. He got plenty of whippings, too, but it was her that give it to him. I guess it don't sound very sensible, Britt, but there was times when I used to wish she'd care enough about me to, well, just slap me or give my ears a good boxing. But you never did. I was Pa's son.
You couldn't blame Clyde for the way his mother acted toward you.
Oh, I didn't blame him. I didn't blame him. Not at first. I told myself we were even, Stephen. He had a Ma and I had a Pa. That was fair enough. And whatever happened, I was Art Hemper. Britt, he wasn't even entitled to the same name, not by any rights. Once I asked Pa about that, I asked him why Clyde was calling himself Hemper. Real good tannin. That's the answer I got.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was. All the time I was growing up, all the time until she died. I was kind of happy when it happened. I thought maybe now it'd be me and Pa again. I thought her being out of the way would sort of push Clyde to one side. Things didn't work out like I figured. Clyde and Pa, they mourned together. They seemed to be closer than before. So I told myself all I had to do was wait. I was Pa's son. Everybody knows when a man dies, it's your son that inherits. All I had to do was to wait. And then it did die. And I found out I'd been living my whole life on lies. I'd convinced myself that when the chips were down, Clyde wouldn't matter anymore. Pa'd realize I was his son, his only son. And then the day they read his will, I knew that I hadn't had a Ma and I hadn't had a Pa either. Clyde had had them both all the time. So I had to kill him. Maybe if he was dead, things would be different.
Art.
Stay where you are, Ponce.
Now listen, Art. Now listen to me. I think I understand what you're trying to tell me. Some of it, anyhow. And maybe you weren't exactly responsible for what you did to Clyde, but you've got to give yourself up.
Give myself up? For the first time in my life, I've got a reason for living. There's nobody standing in my way, not anymore.
There's a posse standing in your
way. They're past us now. They've gone up the canyon. I can ride out the Smoke Falls Gap without them even knowing.
The sheriff Vail's no fool, Art. He figured you might slip by him. That's why he left some men behind.
Well, they won't stop us, Britt.
Us?
Sure. You're taking me in town. I'm your prisoner. Of course, this gun of yours won't be loaded, but nobody's gonna know that. And nobody's going to know I'm holding my own gun just inside my shirt. That Nicky give me on the elbow, it's going to come in real handy. All right, Britt. Here's a six shooter. Not that it'll be much use to you now.
Art brought his pony up from behind the rock and we started down the trail. In a way, I felt kind of sorry for him. But that didn't justify what he'd done. It didn't justify him getting loose and killing somebody else, maybe. We were getting close to the mouth of the canyon now, and the trail kind of straightened out. I figured we ought to meet up with one of the sheriff's boys somewhere along about here. Be their last chance of stopping Art before we hit the flat country. Guess Art was figuring the same thing.
Hold your gun on me, Britt, like you were serious.
All right.
Don't try anything fancy.
We rode out for about 5 minutes more, and then I spotted him. A fellow leaning against the side of the canyon with a carbine across his arm. He must have been dozing, but when he heard us, he came awake fast, and the carbine had swung around ready for business.
All right, hold up there. So you got him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I got him.
Who are you, mister? I didn't see you with the posse.
My name's Ponson, Britt Ponson.
Oh, sure, the six-shooter. Did he give you any trouble, Mr. Ponson?
No, not so far.
Well, where's the sheriff?
He's back a ways. He'll be coming along.
Well, maybe you ought to wait up here. We can all ride into town together.
Now, the sheriff said Ponson was to go on ahead.
Oh? That's so, Mr. Ponson?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, I guess you can take care of him. You ain't going to need no help. Not with that gun of yours. I hear it's about the fastest shooting six gun ever been turned out.
Maybe you'd like to take a look at it.
Wait a minute.
Here, catch.
Are you crazy, Mr. Ponce, throwing your gun around like that? Why, if I wasn't covering Art there...
But you are covering him.
Huh?
Britt, I told you...
Look out,
I was already diving for the ground. Art fired through his shirt. The bullet slid across the back of Scar's neck. Art didn't get a second chance. My carbine slugs tore into his chest and knocked him off his horse. He just lay there. He was bleeding bad.
Bridge.
Yeah?
There's something I got to tell you.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry I lied to you this morning. A man shouldn't lie. That's what my pa always said. And you were my best friend. Shouldn't have lied to you especially.
Well?
Besides, it didn't do me no good. It just goes to show you that lying don't pay. Pa used to whip me whenever I lied. I should have known better, Brett. I should have known that.
Well, if that don't take the cake.
What?
Not more than a minute ago, he tried to shoot you down. But now all he said was he was sorry he lied to you. What happens to a man like that, Mr. Ponson?
I don't know. I just don't know.
The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and it's written by him. Mr. Stewart may soon be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Shepard Menken, Bill Johnstone, Frank Gerstle, and Howard McNear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. This is the NBC Radio Network.